Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v današnjem terminu za Irish Intervju, v katerem gostimo nizozemsko-izraelski dvojec Hexenschuss. Inštrumentalna zasedba nekje med IBM-om, crowd sensibilitetom in bolj recimo temu eksperimentalnimi formami. Hexenschuss danes na Irish gostimo pred njunim četrtkovim koncertom v pritličju prvič tukaj v Ljubljano. Torej, band je v tem trenutku tudi že tukaj z mano v studiju, tako da gremo kar po govoru. So here with me today are Gil and Asi, or Hexenschuss.
Hi.
How are you? I know you've been on tour these last couple of days, or I guess a week. Today coming from the Czech Republic, also concerting in Austria and Germany. How's it been, these couple of concerts? Any memorable experiences you've had these couple of days?
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. Well, the only memorable thing I could think of right now is that today on the way from Czech Republic, we've seen two elephants walking under a bridge. And that was so bizarre.
Just somewhere around
in Czech Republic town. To see two elephants on the loose.
Yeah, in the big city.
Yeah.
In Brno.
Yeah. At the exit to Brno, it was like, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have thought maybe happen right here. We have a zoo.
You have a zoo here.
Yeah. Near.
Yeah. No, I mean, if Asi hadn't seen it, I would have thought I was hallucinating or anything like that, really. Yeah. No, but it's been great. It's been great, the tour.
Have you played small venues, small audiences? Was it having a good response?
Yeah, we play only small audiences. That's our thing. No, we had some really nice shows in some shows well attended, some less, but good response from people. Very enthusiastic, and we had a lot of fun. That's most important.
Yeah, that's probably the most important thing. In one of the texts that I read about your band, I've read an interesting sentence that you're influenced by a variety of artists, none of which can be traced in your sound.
That's great, huh?
None of which can be traced in your sound. So I'm actually, my question will be more about your background, or if I can ask you to talk a bit about the background, both of yours, both in the sense of the scene that you come from, that you represent, maybe the bands you've played before, but also in the meaning of those mysterious influences that cannot be traced, I guess. I want to ask you if you can talk a bit about your background. We don't know you very well.
We both grew up in Tel Aviv, Israel. We grew up, started listening to music in the early 80s, I'd say. Which was, I think, it was a very interesting period. It was, the height of post-punk, especially British post-punk, and I think, I mean, we didn't know each other really at that time, but I think that's sort of like the time and place where most of the influences come from. Not only things that were released in the 80s, but things that music enthusiasts in the 80s, older things that music enthusiasts in the 80s used to hear, like, let's say, Brian Eno, 70s stuff, for example, stuff like that.
And how did you come to be in Amsterdam to work? Or you said you live in Israel.
I live in Tel Aviv, and Asi lives in Amsterdam. So
Amsterdam. Yeah, the background, maybe I'll tell a bit about the back and how this all happened. So I've been living abroad since a long time, 20 years plus. And whenever I came for a visit to Israel, when I was still studying, we would be playing.
Yeah.
We had a project going on for a few years called Stash Riders, which was basically the two of us and another good friend basically jamming, and we used to each would take the recorded material and make their own tracks according to their own. So that was kind of an establishing workflow for, let's say, recorded or manipulated loops from sessions. And this went on for a good 10 years, I think, from 96 to 2000 or even later. And then at one point, I think it was during one of the last sessions with Stash Riders, Gil was playing at the time with Mambas, which was more electro noise.
Electronic trio.
Yeah, very dancey, but a lot of
with vocals, more song oriented, I'd say.
And so I think, and I was at the same time playing in Amsterdam with Noise Rock, in the Noise Rock scene. Also for a while with Gone Bold, recording an album with them and touring a bit. And then one of the rehearsals, one of these jams, I think Gil kind of brought his new sound as it was made for the other band. And I think when we re-listened to the recording, I think I remember telling Gil, hey, this is actually what you're doing is different than what you used to before. And it happened to be this one track that was mainly based on keyboard and repetitive drum track. And we listened to this, we thought this could work as a duo without the third part, but we basically have enough layers of sound to build, and I think from there it basically started, the idea.
It was actually, it was kind of weird because we've known each other since high school, and we used to, We played with each other for quite a long time, but always just jamming.
Yeah.
And each one would do with it what he likes. We never worked as a live band, or of course not, never tried to write material, to try to organize it and so on. didn't really know if it was going to work. It worked well, surprisingly well. But it's kind of weird to try working with someone that you've been working for years in a completely different context.
Yeah, and I think at the time after touring with Gone Bald and actually going into the whole scene of touring and bringing your act on the road and performing in other countries, I think I liked it a lot, and I think that I thought that would be again another good project to take on the road and to exhibit and to let people listen to wherever they are.
And what about the what about the mysterious influences? We've talked about post-punk, but there's your PR text says a lot of things. It cites the history of German, Kraut, French, and a lot of different stuff. Which are these the most obvious influences, I guess? The Fall is a band that could come to mind. How do you relate to the, for instance, the Kraut tradition?
Well, we're avid fans, you know, for quite a long time. And I think, personally, I think the Kraut influences are quite noticeable in what we do.
But cannot be traced.
And electronic music in general is a big thing, I guess.
I think there was a period in both our development or, you know, liking throughout the last 20 years. There was a lot of electronic music involved, whether it was us basically celebrating house or techno music and going out and having our favorite DJs, to producing tracks that are more the workflow of electronic music, whether they're coming from machines or samples, but the same workflow. I was DJing for a while, so there's a big part of it is really the electronic music, but I guess it's in it's more the approach. Because some of the songs are even constructed as they would be arranged in post rather than...
Yeah, but just like we had 80s influences for any music enthusiast living in the 90s, so electronics would play a major part, you know? Especially if you were... Most of the so-called alternative music 80s people turned into techno in the 90s, and so did we. I mean, not because of that, it was just the natural thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite obvious from the presentation of the band that you that the musical method, I guess, is very much in the focus of I think that was my impression of what you do. I guess, as it is on the technical level, probably also on the experiential level, but how would you describe that which is the most important to you when you work on new music? What do you think about, or what are you reflecting when creating new stuff? I guess you just released an album also, so you're probably... it's still a fresh process for you, this last one.
Yeah.
I think that when you say, I think that when we create the album, we're pretty much in some kind of a strange bubble. I don't think that there's any spoken reference to anything from the past. Or for it's really like being in a vacuum. And also the way we work is because we live in two different countries, when we schedule to meet up, it's usually very concentrated, hardcore sessions of from 8 days, 10 hours in the studio every day. Or the case it was for this album, we we were hosted for a residency in Landau in Germany. Mm-hmm. And for 2 weeks, we were pretty much buried in the club.
You had some stuff prepared before? Emailing?
Yeah, no, we had some jams I think most of them were recorded in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Yeah, and which, like, you know, out of like a 20-minute jam, you might have like 2 minutes of nice ideas that you could try working on, and yeah, that's basically what we came to Landau with, and tried making songs out of those snippets, which is a bit like what we did at the first album, but what we sort of we knew more what we wanted to achieve.
I think this bubble thing is very characteristic to the influences. Not characteristic, it's actually, we had for the first album, we were doing the same thing in Amsterdam, and a friend of mine from, remember, Nissim came by, came by to the studio to say hello, and we were so swollen,
immersed
in this whole process, that he spent good 3-4 hours with us, and I completely didn't notice he was there. I remember that he came in, and I remember that he left, but I had no idea later on when he told me he spent there 4 hours. I couldn't believe it. And he said that we were just in a different zone. And I think we were.
Yeah, but it also makes it a bit hard, because there's a lot of insecurity involved, as is it really worth it? Is what we're doing something? Because only after a few weeks, for example, after returning from Landau, we could listen to the new song and think, this actually works, or it's not. We didn't really waste our time these 14 years, 14 days.
I think actually that in the process, when we worked in Landau, for example, we already had the skeletons or the sketches of songs that we want to work. And we work very systematically.
Yeah, yeah. Between ourselves, everything looks. I mean, but because we've been in this like so very private zone, I would always think, well, will it work outside? No. Yeah. Will it have any significance, or will it be any good once it passes outside the zone? You know.
Yeah. That's always the.
Yeah. How do you pronounce the name of the new record? Gobbledygook. What does it mean?
It means gibberish, mainly technical gibberish. I think it's a word that originated in the Second World War, somewhere in the army.
So it maybe relates to what you were talking about just before, a question about it being gibberish or not. The result of your process and its ability of communication.
I came across it in a book about music, actually, and it sort of immediately clicked, because as you say, this is what, and it also fit the name Hexenschutz, which is also
impossible to say.
But this is a Dutch word. It sounds Dutch, no?
Hexenschutz?
No. Gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook is English.
English?
Yeah.
Oh,
it derives from gobble, from chicken. Chickens gobbling. No.
It's interesting. I must admit it looks as well as it sounds Dutch.
But then it would be gobble.
Yeah. It doesn't have a gobbledygook. Gobbledygook is not bad at all.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's it. Will you be playing mostly this record live on Thursday? Here?
Only songs of this record.
But you're also playing tomorrow in Zagreb, right?
No, tomorrow we play Zadar.
Zadar, okay. Yeah, sure.
And the day after.
So, okay, and you've actually played Slovenia before. Yeah. And actually played. You haven't played Ljubljana, but you've been in Maribor and. Bistrica Obsotli. You have a much recollection of those concerts.
Yes, we have great memories of the various buraks that we are trying.
Various.
Yeah, the burek sampling.
Oh, the bureks.
Burek sampling too.
I was told that you wanted to eat Burek.
Yeah, we like Burek, and we also like the homemade rakia that people always offer us when we play here.
Yeah. So when they come to our concerts in 2 days.
It's one of the reasons why it's one of our favorite spots.
All the non-traditional Slovenian traditional fast food and alcohol beverages. So you're playing Thursday in Pritliče. What should the listeners expect from the concert? You said before that maybe before some time you weren't primarily a live band, but I guess you are an active live band for a number of years probably.
Primarily we're not a live band with our previous project. This one is extremely
primarily a live band.
The thing I was working with an electronic duo, so there were lots of loops and I was also doing the rhythm, so for me approaching this project was very, I wanted it to be completely live, even though I use a laptop, but it just simulates live playing. There's no loops or anything that I press a button and
But you do loop live?
Not in this lineup. And also the fact that we played so many gigs, because I live in Israel, not only is it a small country, but you can't really play alternative music outside the big cities, so virtually no touring. So the whole experience of playing live every night was quite new for me. And it made Hexinschuss different and better than what it would have been if we were an Israeli local band, just because we're a live band, really.
Yeah.
And you should expect also, to your question, we have a few very attractive attractions on the show.
Attractive attractions?
Yeah.
Really?
Gil, for example, barefoot. Bare feet, no shoes. We are the only band currently touring Europe where the keyboard is taking off the shoes. I close my eyes sometimes, and I lift my hands and hold sticks. It's very exciting to watch live. The music sucks, of course, but it's... am I allowed to say sucks on the radio?
You're allowed to say anything.
Only if it's concerning your music.
Okay,
our music.
It sucks.
I mean... returning to the tour, I guess you probably take time off for touring like this. It must be, my original intention is just to get your opinion on the kind of band that you are, relatively low profile project. What's the, I guess the life on tour is a far stretch, but the work, the effort that you put in, and finally the result. You said you have a lot of fun, but how is it that the music does? We're just you recording an album, touring. Does it please you? Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about, really. You know, I mean, working and recording a new album and then going live with it, playing each night in front of different crowds in a different place. It's something that I didn't know that I would love before I started doing it with Lassie, but
I think for the music, the interesting thing, of course, is playing a lot and going on tours, and especially this every day, 10 days or 14 days, every day doing a show and you know, driving for hours and setting up. Eventually, besides this thing that is really happening, it's all happening this night, the music gets the music gets better, it gets performed and played better. And like the music really lives when it's being performed live.
Yeah, yeah. course.
And so the more it lives, the more it grows. And so even tracks that we play, then we settle for, and that's the songs on the album, the more we play them live, the more they gets molded and, you know, and shaped slightly better. And it's natural things, but that's the great part. I think that in the previous album we had a song that was actually really closed, one or two songs that were really complete in the way we were, I think, two or three tours after we finished them. So Duven and other, you know, that we played.
Oh, you mean that actually they were completed after they were recorded?
They were completed. No, they really reached the final stage after two or three tours after the recording. So the music keeps on changing. You know, the recording is just capturing a specific moment in the process of birth to eternity of the song. And for this album, we booked a tour before the recording, so we did six shows in order to come closer to the final thing. But it's still growing, still shaping and living.
Okay, so then we have to finish this interview. We're gonna play one more song from the album. I forgot the name.
Flighting Words.
Flighting Words. So and we can use the opportunity to for the final time invite our listeners to your concert in Pritliče on Thursday evening, and maybe to Zadar tomorrow. So again.
Flighting words
on Radio Studentori. Poslušalke in poslušalci, bi pa še enkrat vabljeni na koncert v Pritliče v četrtek zvečer. Torej z nami danes v Ereš intervjuju sta bila duo Hex & Shoes. Intervju sem pripravil Žiga in lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.